was Stanley Turrentine with River's Invitation, one of my all-time favorite tunes. He's, of course, on tenor sax, and Ernie Royal on trumpet, and Snooky Young on trumpet as well, Clark Terry on flugelhorn, and a whole bunch of folks were assembled to produce this particular tune. This is from his 1965 album, believe it or not. It was first recorded in that year. River's Invitation. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and it is Free Your Mind Friday, the first for the month of May. I mean, where's the time going? I can't believe it's already May, but it is. So on Free Your Mind Friday, for those of you who are new, welcome. Thank you for joining us. This is our weekly open forum, and it's very simple, the concept, which is you get to express things that are on your mind. It's not material, really, whether people agree or disagree. It is that you have something to say that is important. You've thought about it, and when you get on air, you are able to say what you have to say. However, we don't have all day. You take a little bit of time, and you make the time worth your while. You get to the point, and you should have a point. Don't get on and just yammer. Tell us what it is that's on your mind and what is your position on the subject or issue. Also, what I'd like for you to keep in mind is that you should remember you're educating people. At least that's the whole idea. And because you're doing so, it is expected that you would integrate some factual material somewhere in your presentation to prove your point, and that would be very, very helpful for all of us. Okay, so you call 888-874-4888. That's the number to call to free your mind. And you can wax philosophic, but as I said, it's not just for ranting, it is for sensibly putting forward a position that you've thought about, you have come to a conclusion about it, and you want to share it with us. And that's great. If you do that, then that's just a ticket right there. That's the whole purpose of the program. 888-874-4888, and let's get into it right now. Let's see, Jay from New York, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. How are you today?
Good, Jay. How are you?
Very good. I hope all is well. Two things. Number one, Joe Biden will get a pass in regards to these rape allegations that are being put forward. It won't be
sexual assault, not rape, sexual assault allegations.
There won't be no real true investigation. I think it will be swept under the rug. And, you know, my question is this. Here it is. You have a predator in the White House right now with 13 allegations compared to his one allegation. And if they think they're going to make this into such a big smoke screen, then, you know, we'll see what the media is really about, and what the Me Too movement and every other movement that these feminists want to push forward or society at this time. So it's going to be a little interesting, but I think it'll be swept under the rug like it's basically been for these last 20-something years. My second point is this. We are in a very, very serious crisis in this country under the leadership of the president in regards to reopening up this country, which is just basically in regards to him trying to make it seem like he's grown the economy and that the economy is in a forward-going shape of being able to make the country, as he would say, great again. But disaster will probably be seen in the next 2 to 3 months if this virus hasn't been placed under control, for which I don't think it is. So we're looking at a situation, let's say someplace like Georgia, Florida, and some other places where they're opening up at this time, that could lead to a much more serious pandemic, and then it would really cause more trouble within the country. And I think that that's a gamble that hopefully Cuomo and some of the other governors within our region won't take. But it's a dangerous situation. And I think because of the lack of understanding of the president in regards to science and his inability to listen to the authorities that really know what's going on, he's going to basically make this tragic mistake that's going to cause even more lives. And then the sad thing is he has people like Jared Kushner out talking about we have done such a great job, when the reality is we haven't done a great job. So we're in a dangerous situation right now that I don't even think a lot of people understand.
All right. Thank you for getting us started today. Moki from Connecticut, you're on the air.
Hi there, everybody. Greetings, you guys. Hope you're feeling well today.
Thank you. I'm trying, as we all are.
Well, yeah, that's the first key, is to try. When we stop trying, then we don't feel well.
So what are you bringing to our attention today?
Oh, gosh, I don't even know where to start. But I did hear that Canadians are getting $2,000 a month for the duration of the corona event. So besides paper ballots, they really got something going for them up there. I believe I called in recently asking our community to listen to a YouTube treatment about the coronavirus, Dr. Andrew Kaufman, M.D. They have stuck a fake, another Dr. Kaufman in there, so you may have to page down to find the real one, who has receding hair and glasses. That's Dr. Andrew Kaufman, M.D., Coronavirus Truth and 5G. Also, London Real has a title with the same doctor, Unmasking the Lies Around COVID-19, Facts Versus Fiction. The only other thing
But
offer
besides
today,
touting some information on YouTube, what is your opinion about anything? Why are you calling?
My opinion is that 5G, which Bill Gates and his wife Melinda are very heavily invested in, all the focus.
Do you know anything about this 5G other than what is widely disseminated as pretty much a conspiracy theory that the advent of 5G, that this is the new level of communication, that it is doing all this harm? People repeat things, and I won't have it here. People repeat things they have no proof about. And it just becomes a big conspiracy theory. And then people are dragged into it as the culprits. And, you know, what does this do to your opinion? What is your opinion? That's what we're interested in. I'm not interested in using this program or having anybody attempt to use the program as yet another outlet for conspiracy theories. If that's what you're doing, we'll have to say goodbye.
No, that's not what I'm doing. I'm encouraging people to research for themselves and use their own critical thinking skills. I'm not just spouting
except
anything.
That you coming from the position that the conspiracy theory is coming from, which is the advent of 5G and the disaster it's going to be for the world and how it's going to change people. And nobody has information about it. Nobody has proof about anything. And it really, is a disservice.
They're trying to suppress the information. All right, so what I did hear, I would like your reaction to, is that the federal government, whether by executive order or congressional, or a commission, unelected people deciding these things for us, that the towns and the states have no say about 5G. I'd like people to investigate that, too.
Okay, we're going to end this. You're not hearing me, and you insist on continuing with this conspiracy theory. We're not having it. Thanks for calling in. 888-874-4888. Ma'at, you're on the air.
Yes. Greetings to the beloved family. I want to have first some comment on Biden. It shows how foolish the Democrats are. There is a clip going about that's put on TV pretty often in terms of the cable, MSNBC, CNN, and it's him in there's a man in front, I don't know the two players, and it seems like his wife is in front of Biden, and Biden, I mean, he knows he's going to be on TV. He's in public. He's so feely-gropey. He tenderly embraces her shoulder and puts his head down into her hair. The man is kind of spooked, and he, even though he's facing the microphone and speaking, he has to reach back and put his hand on his wife. I guess.
But where are you going with this?
Well, where I'm going with it is just how obvious this guy is in terms of how automatic it is for him, without thinking, almost unconsciously, to feel entitled to, you know, that's just part of his world.
Who is this man? You're talking about Biden?
It's three people on the stage. It's a man in front of the podium speaking. It's Biden, and the woman, which it seems to be the man's wife, is in front of Biden. And out of the blue, Biden embraces the woman in front of him at both shoulders, puts his head down, and he's known to want to smell and comment about the woman's hair.
Oh, come on now. What is the point of this discussion? The point is, Eutrice, that you did,
I heard, and I've been missing the program, but I've been hearing it through the archives, and I'm thinking of something I heard through the archives where you were discussing Biden and the Tara Reid's charges coming to the fore more so, and his denials this morning. Whereas the point I'm trying to make is that it's almost, I mean, that particular shot of him embracing the woman into her hair, it's not even a smart move on his part, considering
but
his
ambition. But it's completely irrelevant. I understand where you're going with it to suggest that Biden is a very sexual and sensual man. I don't know what that proves, but the question I have to ask you is, that notwithstanding, what is the point, do you think? What is the most important point about this Biden situation that we should keep in mind? It's not about all these distractions. and who is doing what on the side, and, you know, these things are not important. What is the most important thing about the Biden case so far, would you say?
Candidate for the Democrats to put up, and the way they, as usual, treated Bernie.
Well, I'm talking about in terms that we all know he's a candidate. He's been saddled with this burden of defending himself against a charge that he sexually assaulted a staff member when he was a senator. What is the overwhelming issue that we should be concerned about here?
I think the fact that the Democrats went with a choice, like South Carolina Congressman Claiborne. I mean, Biden didn't have his head above water, and Claiborne came out, and he, you know, and said, well, this is the guy, and gave him a big endorsement. And, of course, I did agree with you when you said those three primaries were ridiculous, having people go out to, and there was actual illnesses and deaths from all of that. So my point is that the Democrats, again, are going down, are just not seeing what's in front of them.
Well, and neither are we, for that matter. We are not seeing what's ahead of us. Right in front of us, I should say. This case, we should dismiss all of the distractions. All of the distractions. Disregard them completely. The one thing that should be at front and center of our concern is about the prosecution or possible prosecution of this case. That's the only thing that matters. I don't care about Biden's explanation. It doesn't carry the force of law. He's not in a courtroom. He can say whatever he wants to say. The question that we should be asking is, why is this case lingering since 1993? And it has not come before a court of law. That's the issue. They can carry on with all of their distractions and the bells and whistles to make us think it is, well, Biden is having a news conference to react to the charge against him. Who cares? I'm not interested in your news conference. It has nothing to do with the law. It has nothing to do with the central question here. Why is this case not yet prosecuted? And if it turns out that there's no proof, no evidence against him, then, you know, wrap it up and throw it away with the next day's garbage. We have no stake in this, and we shouldn't act as if we do. This is Biden's problem. This is the Democratic Party's problem. For
the concern
should be, why is this case not yet prosecuted? And however it turns out, it turns out. Put 12 people in the box and let's go. Try the case. On the evidence, on documents, on things that matter in a court of law. Him getting together a news conference, I couldn't care less about you and your news conferences.
My point was not about his denial or his conference. My point was about a certain type of blindness or foolishness of the Democratic Party. I mean, the fact that I mentioned that
but you're talking about this from a Democratic Party point of view.
I'm saying
to you, discard that notion. It makes no sense. The Democratic Party, like any other party, would do what it has to do to defend or to assist any one of its own. And this happens to be a pretty high-value member. He's running for president, for crying out loud.
Yes,
Don't fall for it. Don't pay attention to it. Pay attention to what matters.
I heard you, Eutrice, I heard you refer to Stacey Abrams and how she responded to the accusation and what we see in front of us in terms of how Biden acts around women generally, okay? He's known as a feely, ugly guy and an appropriate guy. So I'm not trying to argue about it, but, there's no right way to see these things, but we all are going to see them from a different angle. I heard you, not live, but later, speak to what Stacey Abrams, and I thought that was a good analogy because that was so hypocritical to me in terms of her overall posture. But here we are.
I am not ever engaged in the business of how individuals are acting in any particular scenario. It is of no concern. It does not get us to the issue. Let them do what they have to do. Stacey Abrams, as far as I'm concerned, has already compromised herself needlessly by springing forward and diving on a sword. She doesn't know the facts of this case, and she should not have opened her mouth about it.
I agree. But there are consequences to how she and the Democrats are responding and turning his fate around when he wasn't doing very well. And they changed that. And now
the consequences of saying nothing, believe it or not, that is the appropriate response when it comes to Biden. Have nothing to say. This way, you're not on the record about anything. You're clean.
Yeah, I agree with you, but she did have something to say, and I saw it.
But she's not important in this case. I don't care how many women come forward, and like Nancy Pelosi, and she has something to say. It is unimportant. What's important is what people have to say as witnesses in a trial. A scheduled trial. Other than that, everything is unimportant.
Yeah, but when you talk about a trial, you have to also think about how the system works. I mean, in New York City, we had a Columbia University gynecologist that was consistently sexually assaulting, including Andrew Yang's wife, and he has yet to have been had to pay any consequence. So that's the real
politique,
if you will.
But that's the point I'm making. So, it's just like Biden has yet to answer for not just this particular situation, but there are many others. People are either serious about their interests or they're not. As far as I'm concerned, all this tra-la-la around Biden, you discard it. You pay no attention to it. It is not germane to the central question. Did he commit a crime? Did he commit the crime that he is charged with, according to his victim? And is he going to be convicted or not? That's all I want to know. Everything else is immaterial. Is there going to be a trial or not?
But others of us see it from a different angle. That's
I get
also.
It, and I'm trying to tell you that you're wasting good brain power seeing it from that angle.
Well,
because
I
in the
agree.
End, it has no merit with the central question here. I've been talking about it. Do not shift your gaze from the central question, because you're going to get wrapped up in all of the distractions. It's so straightforward, it is almost embarrassing.
It's not straightforward, because women often don't even come forward when they're actually
raped.
We're
not talking about women. We're talking about this case.
We're talking about what the society
gives you. We're talking about a specific case. This is one of the distractions, that this case suddenly evolves into a case about women and the sexual rights and so forth.
You have to put it in the context of how the court system deals with it, even if you're courageous enough to come forward. There's a reason why she didn't go to the police, Tara Reid, when her mother told her to go to the police and make a police report. There's a reason why she didn't do
that.
We
sometimes have to learn the hard way. We're all grown up, and we cannot continue to find or try to find reasons for shirking our responsibility, especially when it comes to ourselves. You have a case, it is clear. Did Joe Biden commit a crime? Has that been established? Not yet. Should he be prosecuted for this crime? Apparently nobody has decided that. This is the central question. And will he be convicted of this crime? This is the issue, nothing else. This is the issue. I don't care about what other women are coming forward and Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi's views have absolutely no merit when it comes to looking at this case in its tightest context.
Well, that's the
she
point.
She wasn't there. She doesn't know what happened.
In terms of the Democrats not seeing what's in front of them.
I'm saying to you, I'm not even concerned with the Democrats, and we shouldn't be concerned about the Democrats either. We have a specific focus. We ought to have a specific focus that has to do for once in a while, it has to do with our interests. Our specific interests, nobody else's interests. I don't care what the Democrats are doing. I care that this case came up in 1993, and
93.
Has yet to be, in one way or the other, adjudicated. Why? That's all I want to know. Everything else is immaterial. Thanks so much for calling. David from Brooklyn. Haven't heard from you in a while, David. How are you?
Yes, I'm getting along. I've been listening. I haven't been able to get in. And I want to get right to the point, as I usually do. And what's on my mind is one thing that I believe is the most important thing for me to realize, and I hope other people see it too, and that is this. The people have no party that represents the masses of the people's interests.
This Amen. Amen.
That's right. This is a plutocracy completely run by the rich and powerful. And all this talk about what's going on in the big house by the masses of people is a waste of time. And what I'm thinking about now is that discussion that was had this week about Senator Bernie Sanders. I cannot believe that Bernie Sanders didn't know that this party or this group of the Uniparty, the Democrat side, that there's no way that that group would let him get the nomination for President of the United States. I'd think he had something else in mind. He wants to be on the good side of these people, so he served their interests in corralling a certain group, in a more progressive side of that group, into his camp, when he knew, I believe, my opinion is that it would be impossible for him to get the nomination. Now, I say this because two groups, the Republican and Democrat, they have the goal to maintain the hegemony of the oligarchy and the rest of the plutocrats that run the country from this very start of this country. It was never intended to be a democracy. So people have to get it, but we have to have an illusion. So the ruling class is keeping this illusion, in my opinion, of democracy when there's no way that they would be interested in democracy. And so they are very good at playing people, and they're masters at it. They've got everyone talking about all kinds of things about don't get to the point that they are maintaining control, and they want the ruling class to maintain control. And who would think, I mean, if you are really thinking, who would believe that the ruling class would want to give up its power to somebody making progressive noises like Bernie Sanders or anyone else, and turn that over to some progressive force instead of American capitalism? I don't believe that for a moment Bernie thought that he could really get that nomination, and he was doing a service in the interests of the ruling class. That is my opinion. It's to me no different than if you had a group of man-eating tigers who have decided that they would switch from their regular wildlife prey to man-eating tigers, would want to, change and become vegan people or vegan tigers. You see, so to expect the Republicans and Democrats to go from man-eating tigers to vegan tigers is an impossibility. So, people need to get what's getting me upset is that people keep enmeshing themselves in all this side stuff that has nothing to do with the reality of running a country that's an imperialist country and has an empire reaching all over the world, dominating smaller countries, and that's the United States, and impoverishing as many people here as possible, while the ruling class, the oligarchs and the rest of the plutocrats, get richer and richer. So, you know, it's just something that on my mind. The final thing I'm going to say again, the people have no party that represents their interests.
Amen to that, too. Thank you so much, David, for calling in and contributing. Gwen from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Therese.
Hello.
Hi. I just wanted to, I want you to hang on to your chair, okay?
Okay.
I don't want you to punch out the radio, but I was just going through my telephone messages, and the news always comes up before, you know, I can see my email. And I saw a picture of Hillary Clinton from the AP saying that, hold on, America, she's ready to go, and it looks like Biden's going to kind of fall out. Now, that was pretty bold, and that was on the regular news. That was not on any, you know, any of the WBA or anything. That was regular, straight-up news. And I kind of have to say I knew it, because I knew something was going on when they allowed this story to go on. I do believe, most likely, that this happened. But I agree with you. He was up for being vice president, and that's also a pretty important position, and it never came up at that time. It can't be litigated right now because the case is too old. It's beyond the statute of limitations. So it's pointless to say let's take it to court, because it cannot be taken to court. It's too old of a case. But
okay, so hold it there for 1 second, because there's a very important point to be made here. So why all of this hullabaloo if the case is not going to come to court right away? If there's no point to thinking that it will actually materialize as a court case, why is it such a big deal? Could you tell us?
Because Joe Biden is not going to be the candidate in November. That is not the candidate. It's going to probably be Hillary. What I thought it was going to be was, I actually thought it was going to be Andrew Cuomo. And the reason why I thought that is because he's gotten an incredible amount of coverage through this coronavirus. And he, I know that a lot of people are looking at saying he is a lot younger. He is as streetwise as Trump. And whether you like Cuomo or you don't like him, I really believe the viability of him beating Trump is just
unbelievable. Why are we talking about Biden?
Because the reason why,
because
people are concerned.
There's nothing that they're going
concerned.
To do with Biden, so why are we talking about Biden?
People are not concerned about Biden. They're concerned about whether or not he's going to be on the ticket, or is somebody else going to be on the ticket. That's and I believe the Democrats are throwing him under the bus, because that really isn't their pick. He's a very weak candidate, and they know it. And they know that once he gets up there and he has to start debating Trump, things are going to be not easy. I hate to say that, but I personally feel, this is just through my observations, and I've heard other people say it, but when I've seen him on TV, he looks like he's at the beginning of senility. He called one of his constituents a horse-faced traitor. This is a lady who was supporting him, because she asked him about what he thought, the Ukrainian thing was going to have, what kind of, you know, what was that going to do to his election? But she wasn't against him. She was a Biden supporter. They were at a rally. She asked a calm question. He got very upset, and he called her a horse-faced traitor. Well, that's not really what you should call people that are coming out to see you and supporting you. So I think the Democrats know that he's really, and they really have kept him away from the media. Even the commercials that come out now are people that are reading about him, but they're not allowing him to speak. So I think that he really, my personal feeling is he's not going to be the candidate in November. And I really honestly thought they would just throw Andrew Cuomo right in there, and people would go along with it because he's gotten such incredible press. But when I saw Hillary Clinton come up on the AP today, and remember, she hasn't gone away during this whole time. Hillary Clinton has been there, and she's gotten, like, her biography came out, and they did a whole story on her. And they've kept her in the news, not front and center, but in the news. And the way it looks like they're going to do this is they're going to usher her in, like, hero to the day, because, you know, we need a hero, and she was there last time, and you know, we have to stick with our principles about you two and all this other stuff, and she will be the delegate. I don't know if this is true or not, but you know, when we I said to my sister this morning, all of my sisters who are supporting Joe Biden, I just can't, I said I couldn't really understand it, because I think what a lot of people are saying in their heads.
But it's so clear, it's so easy to understand.
It's Biden, so easy to understand. If you
Democratic Party,
to me, it's not
finally
easy to understand.
The Democratic Party has finally come to realize that Biden is not the gift they thought he was. And now they have to figure out something else really quick. What, you have the election in November? We're in May. You do not mount a national campaign and expect to win unless you have a spectacular candidate that would help you make up the time that you'll be losing running around with this trivial matter of whether Biden, you know, should be this. And no, the only concern, the only issue that ever was with Biden was whether he did this or not. They avoided it for all these years. Did he do it or not? That's the only thing that needs to be ascertained about Biden. Other than that, he's a liability and has been for a long time. Biden has been carried by other candidates for a long time. Obama carried him when he was in the Senate. Well, he was in the company of other equally disadvantaged senators, so he didn't stand out as being particularly bad. But this is the question that could put the whole thing in perspective now, and they won't, well, they won't allow it. Did he do it? Have a trial. I don't want to hear what he has to say outside of a court. It is of no importance. Discard it instantly. The only thing that matters, if he's going to say something, would be under sworn testimony and in a court of law. Other than that, he's of no use in helping us get close to this matter of whether he is a worthy candidate. He is not so far a worthy candidate, and they're doing all kinds of calisthenics to distract us from zooming in on the question. It still remains the question. I don't care what they're talking about. I'm not listening. Did he do it? Is there going to be a trial? Will he be convicted? Answer those three questions and you got me. Hillary Clinton is bad news. But this is what the Democratic Party has, at least in recent years, a penchant for. Tarnished, undesirable candidates who look at political office as a personal accomplishment for them to get their personal agenda done. Who wants to vote for Hillary Clinton? The amount of time we have spent on this program divulging the criminality, I should use the plural, the criminalities of the Clintons, why would the Democratic Party, cling to the types like Biden and Clinton? Because it can't part ways with its racist past. It has no new leadership with new insight and courage. The party is dying. And by its own intention, it is dying. And my feeling is, if that is the case, let's help it die by moving away from it and getting something new. And this was my disappointment with Bernie Sanders. here was something fresh and new with great potential, especially in the area of creating change. And he went the same old way, the same old predictable way. How sad. Because in the end, he turned a groundswell of energy into his own personal tool. I don't think I want to do this. I don't think I want to do that. That's not the issue. People elected you. People pushed you. People carried you and endorsed you and made you their spokesman. You can't just walk away like a regular Democrat. You're behaving like a regular Democrat, and we should condemn that. Too much has been invested. You see, the bottom line is we are the difference between whether we get good leadership or bad leadership. If we don't step forward when it is important for us to step forward, if we don't control the direction of a party or of a candidate, then we have no reason to complain. This is the truth, and we have to deal with it. We have to deal with it. This is the unvarnished truth. So it's not that Bernie Sanders had a great candidacy with a lot of promise. It wasn't, we all shared in that. And he's accountable still for what becomes of all of that energy and money and time and concern. He's accountable for it. It was not one of those things that, well, it didn't work, and see you guys. I got to lay down on a beach somewhere and relax. Mm-mm. You have the wrong idea. Thanks, Gwen, for calling in. We have time for at least one more.
I just want to say to Brother E and Edgewater, I've felt his pain because I tend to feel the pain of other people, you know.
I'm not hearing you very well.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, I just want to say to Brother E that I really felt his pain, you know, and sympathize with him. But we're all going through the same thing.
Oh, you mean
E
from Edgewater who called in?
Yes.
And expressed his heartfelt views about
really feel it.
Losing someone.
Yes.
His mother, as a matter of fact.
Sister Utrecht, you know, Sister Hickory, you know, a clock is right twice, a non-working clock is right two times in 24 hours. And she was right in coming back because she was the one who told us about the deplorables. You asked the question, who would vote for her? Yes, the deplorables, but we are not the deplorables. We are the PRN listeners.
Oh yeah, we don't have to validate ourselves. We know who Hillary and Bill Clinton are. We know them.
Exactly.
We should want nothing to do with these people.
Exactly. Not just them. The entire people in Washington, the Beverly Hillbillies in Washington, was robbed.
But we can't apply the broad brush, just in case there are some exceptions. We haven't encountered them yet, but there might be exceptions. But certainly in the case of the Clintons, they are known entities, and we should have nothing further to do with them.
But the so-called president has been doing the same thing, Utrecht.
The what?
As far as women are concerned, his behavior is the same way as Joe Biden. And this is public knowledge.
The thing is, they can do that because we always have to keep in mind that there are different points of reference always. There have always been different points of reference in the United States.
Right.
The assumption is that whatever the so-called dominant society does or thinks, so should everybody else. Not true.
That's right. That's right. I totally agree with you, 100%. Anyway, what I really called now is on my mind was yesterday a friend of mine was visiting, and your program came on, and the first question she asked was, "It's only an hour long." I said, "What? Why is it only an hour?" I said, "That's how it works." So I'd like to know, why can't we have 2 hours of your program?
Listen, we have only a finite amount of time. And there are lots of people with so much to offer. We have to do our best to divvy up the time. And so that everybody gets some portion of time to engage in the work that they've been doing for years. And this is the problem with our kind of radio. The information that we share on any given day is so valuable. People want so much more of it that it is impossible to meet the demand. So we do what we can, and we get our little corner, and then we do well as best we can with the little corner that we have. There will come a time, and that is something that the listeners have to endorse through their support, there will come a time when we will expand. But until then, as I said, we do the best we can with what we've got. I thank your friend for the compliment, but really, please understand that for me, it's the same thing. I think this audience is the best audience on the planet. And I would love to stay with the audience for 10 hours a day, but it's not possible. That brings us to the end of our program today. We are facing, of course, the weekend. And as you know, your task is the same. Surround yourselves with positive thinking people, people who help to open your eyes to new possibilities and to shore you up, to give you a little boost and bring positivity into your life. Until then, take care of yourselves, take care of your loved ones, and let's meet again Monday and start this whole thing all over again. Bye-bye. New Yorkers are